You've been mad all day, haven't you? You've been berserk. By your standards, I'd say as well, which is, you know, giving it an extra bit of garnish. You've been on one all day.
You talking to me?
Yeah, of course I'm talking. I'm looking at you, aren't I? The fuck do you think I'm talking to?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think you thought you were singing again, mate.
You've been so... Like, I was concerned we were going to have to take you for a walk at half-time after that VAR decision. You were absolutely livid. I thought, I'd be worried about you. Are you all right?
I'm fine now, mate.
Every kick of that, didn't you?
Oh, I tell you what. I didn't realise I was being that intense, I'm sorry. I was trying to actually internalise it quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously not well.
Well, no, let's just presume you're succeeding, that the internals must not look good, is what I'd say. You were absolutely... I'm not alone here, am I?
You were very much in a realm of, like, hell.
I think you lived every minute of that game in a way I've not seen anyone live it for a while. It was all on you.
It was just playing out exactly like the worst-case scenario in my head. Would have been so. I'd Villa been fucking 3-0 up. I wouldn't have been asked. They would have been gone. I'd Villa played well and me 1-0 up. Would have been asked. They would have been gone. But for every minute that ticked by and Liverpool were playing well, I'm thinking we're not scoring here. No, it's fucking going to no. And then when it happens and it's confirmation bias and just like for fuck's sake, and then that fucking the VAR thing happens and I'm like, oh, I can't face this.
I thought you might not watch the second half.
You know what, right? All I was thinking about is I've got to fucking go to fucking kids' footy tomorrow. I've got to go to kids' footy tomorrow. I'm Francesca's best mate in the team. So here's the thing.
His head has a blue.
No, it's even worse. He's a blue, but a daughter supports Liverpool. Right. So we can't project that on his daughter, so I fucking get it. So I get it. But not in a, like, a in-your-face way. It's like, switch the game, you stay down, fuck off! kind of way.
Not tomorrow, though, Hans. Not tomorrow.
Not to fucking tomorrow.
Tomorrow you'll
sure.
be there an hour early.
Asking him if he watched any football yesterday.
All right, lad.
How's it going, lad? Just like off the back of like the 60 feet on the spin at home and all that. It was kind of like I could hear the violin track playing in my head. It was like, and I keep referencing a bunch of screams like.
I reckon he was genuinely more stressed in that first half than I was in the 40 minutes or so between when Gabriel Jesus put City 1-0 up in that Champions League game.
Was it
that bad?
Everyone around just gone to bits territory. It was I think you had your head in your hands when it was 0-0 and you were rubbing your eyes and I was thinking, fucking hell, Andy's eager for a result today. But then so were the lads. So
just to contextualise what I said then, Andy, at half time of that City quarter final, I very much considered walking out of the ground, putting my plane in aeroplane mode and sitting in a bush until about 10 o'clock at night and then seeing what the score was because I'd gone.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
How did you cope with it?
Sorry, what shows still fucking matters though, doesn't it?
It fucking right, it does.
Felt alive.
I wasn't like that. I was more like the resign, like, you know, like, fucking hell, it's this again. Like, I mean, I think everyone's had the same experience, obviously. We've just been listening to Klopp there, and he was saying the same about, you know, you dominate the game, you got all the ball, you have all the shots, and then it's not even a great chance. Goes in the back of the net, and then the Bobby thing on top, and the VAR thing on top, and it was just like, I feel like the world's against us, so surely these lads do as well, do you know what I mean? And I just thought, fucking hell, I wasn't fuming, it was more just like, there's something mad about this season, there's something weird, something's going on, something's happening in the Matrix, someone swallowed the wrong pill, you know, whatever. So to win it, and to win it in the fashion that we did, was fucking brilliant, let's be honest. It just reminded me about what I'm in this for. Do you know what I mean?
Gareth, to put into context, you know that squeal in the derby when the ball came back to Alisson? It was that times 10, I think.
That was superb, that, by the way.
It's, Phil, I think in general, Helen Wales' first question is, feels good to win at Anfield again, doesn't it, lads? For me, it's not, it's a bit of that, but for me, it's not Anfield until we're in it. And I'm just, that's now just where I am, full stop. But that's a little, that's easy for me to say. It's different for them to say, because they're the one, they are in it. I can say, well, it's not Anfield till I'm in it. I think you'll find somewhat, you know, somewhat self-obsessed. Until I'm present, I think you'll find it's not Anfield, folks. What a ridiculous sentence. But there is an element of that. But for them, they are present. It is Anfield. And I think that that was part of, they had a lot to fight against this afternoon. Not least the fact that I think actually Villa play quite well. They had a lot to battle against, but they also have to battle against the idea that they did not want to be the football team that lost seven consecutive matches at Anfield.
Yeah, I did the post-match pint with Robbo and said something along the lines of, like, it was all very well and good going away and winning in, you know, Leipzig and Budapest twice, and Wolves and Sheffield United and Arsenal, because the away form wasn't really a problem, so we needed to get back to Anfield and do some psychological thing. And I sort of think we'd have been in a world of trouble if we hadn't got that back today, because they'd have just been looking at it going, well, I know we can do it away from home.
Yeah.
But then we get back here and why can't we do it? And, you know, that's the first open play goal since the end of December. We've been through the entirety of lockdown.
The clocks have changed.
Exactly.
It was a different season. Yeah. It was winter then.
Still freezing, Robbo.
We actually had a centre-back fit at the start of the game.
Yeah. No, it's berserk, but it's, I think for them, at some point during this, we'll end up talking about Wednesday night, and that's fine. But I think for them, for me, this is almost separate to Wednesday night. It's like, this is more about next Monday, and then it's about Newcastle, which follows, in that they have got to, they've got to start doing that job in that competition. I think you can ask whether or not they have done that job in the competition against Real Madrid midweek. But for me, I think they are able to switch modes, maybe even a bit more easier than we are. They can glide between it maybe a bit better than we can. I think that looking at that there today, they needed the league thing to turn.
Yeah, they needed the win, and they needed something to hold on to. Just really, just know that, like, it's not a disaster. I mean, you obviously want to win on Wednesday night, and you want to win 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, whatever, and you want to go through, but we don't want to be in a position.
All those options,
absolutely,
Phil.
Right, of course you would. 10-0, any advances? You don't want the full-time whistle to go in that game, and that be it until August, because the psychological thing that comes from that is, it's not something that these footballers want to happen, but also that they're not conditioned to it either, and you don't know where you go from there. And in terms of how do you pick themselves back up, like, I think part of the problem we've had this season is, once the title went, they're not conditioned to go, oh, we're fighting for fourth now, are we? Oh, well, that's shite, because that's not what you want, is it? That's not why they didn't get out of bed in September the 13th or whatever it was when we played Leeds and go, battle on here, we'll come forth, don't worry about it, lads, we will come forth and we'll get into a fight and we'll come forth. That's not what they were interested in. And part of the problem is, if they didn't win today, how is the readjustment going for them? They just might fuck it off.
I think Phil's nailed it. I just think if we can do top four, and God knows what happens on Wednesday, but it's something tangible, it's a challenge that they've overcome given all the adversity. So if they get top four and remain in Europe, and alright, it's not the season we all wanted, but then you're kind of like, right, we've done this despite X, Y, and Z. And I'm not going to go through, I'm not going to bemoan or cry things that have happened to us this year, because it's football and it happens to teams. But, and I'm not saying us finishing fourth is a success because in light of those setbacks, but it's the fact that they've achieved what was unlikely or what looked unlikely a couple of weeks ago. And then you're that dressing room that's still in Europe, and you've got Joe Gomez, who's probably England's best centre half. You've got Virgil van Dijk coming back in. You've got a chance to regather, rethink. You've got a chance to get players back in form. You've got just all of that. I just think they've got something to look towards now and cling on to.
I think they want to come fourth, because next season they want to.
I'm not saying they don't, Neil.
That's not what I'm saying. I think the reason why they have been able to possibly refocus is, I think they want to come fourth because next season they want to try and win the European Cup, just like they want to keep winning it this year. Like, they literally think, they think they can do a league and European Cup double, because that's how good they think they are. And they've got a body of evidence to point to, i.e. when they won the European Cup and got 97 points, or i.e. when they won 26 out of the first 27 league games, and it's only because the subkeeper has a nightmare, Gareth, that they can look at and go, well, we could do a double. We could do yeah. that. We can win everything. I think they just sort of feel a bit like it's a twat of a job now that they've got to slog through to get to that point. But they feel like, well, that's what we can do. We're possible. So we've got to do that so we can have the best possible year next year because we want the best possible year.
Yeah, I think they still believe they are that good. I'm with you on that. I do think that's why I was saying about the whale being against it. I think Robertson literally said we felt sorry for ourselves in an interview at one point. And you can sort of see why, because the injuries is unbelievable. We've had decisions at key times go against us. You know, you can still go all the way back to the derby, and I will. Yeah. and I will. So, you know, I do think that they think you get the players back. We've qualified for the European Cup, you know, so that's the important bit that you've got to do now. We're in it again. Why can't we win it? Why can't we win the league again? Because they're just going to, the motivation and the talks behind the scenes, and I'm sure what the manager will just say is, you just need to write that off. That was weird. That was like almost a different competition. That was football in a pandemic.
And it was a glitch
football.
In the Matrix.
Yeah. A glitch in the Matrix. And look, you know, Mo Salah's is Mo Salah not the player of the pandemic? Because he scored 28 goals now. That's the most he scored in a season since the 44. Like, that's unbelievable. And it's like, I'll still say it again because I've said it loads already, but not enough people are talking about that. That's fucking unbelievable. So
he could get 35 goals this season.
Easy. There's loads of 40 left to play.
So on that, and I'm not going to be a tit. I'm going to be a tit because I'm not going to name names, and I'm going to be really vague about this.
Just be a tit.
Is it Gutman? Yeah.
No. One of the,
can it be Gutman?
So no, it's no one involved with us. But one of the players said, and I don't know, one of the senior members of the squad said to someone I know, it felt like running in quicksand. Like, no matter how hard we try, it goes against us. And almost like, and the quicksand analogy, it's good actually, because the more you run against quicksand, the more you kick out, the deeper you sink. It's like everything we're trying just seems to go against us. So this for me, and hindsight's 2020, and God knows what goes on after this, but this feels like the first thing that's gone for us. And yep. This isn't me saying I'm feeling sorry for ourselves. Look, we are where we are because we deserve to be where we are, but it just feels like this is the first time it's gone for us a little bit. And if the players are, and it's exactly what Gareth's saying, if the players are in that mindset where we're trying as hard as we can here, this isn't a lack of effort.
It was a boss goal though as well,
and it was a boss goal,
like, it's not last some minute. Fluke, it's not some like shitty penalty that we didn't deserve. It's a fucking boss goal after the keeper pulled off an unbelievable save. You were like, what the fuck, why isn't that a goal?
So I said to Neil on the pink, if you would have said to me, right, there's two scenarios, Liverpool win 4-0 or Liverpool win in those circumstances that we won, for the benefit of the team, with hindsight, you win the way we won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've come right against the adversity.
Imagine that, you'd be bouncing if you're involved in that. Imagine the changing rooms after. Right. Imagine everything. Imagine everyone Saturday night. They've got the same problem as us, that they can't go and do stuff properly because we're still in the middle of all this and everything else. But I bet you it was flying in them.
Oh, no, 100%. what I'm saying, they've got something the way something has gone for them today. Yeah. So it's something to try and pull on. Sorry, Neil, interrupt you there.
They didn't at all. They will be absolutely bouncing. They'll be feeling.
I fucking hope they are.
Oh, they will. No, they will. They will. And the thing you said about them, sort of about the circumstances and them pulling it around, they'll feel great for it. And let's just hope that they do.
What are they bouncing into Wednesday night like, Andy?
You know what, right? I've deliberately not done that, and I was near tempted to today. But like, I'm writing it off.
Can I ask
season.
If you'll bounce into the Champions League semi-finals if we get there?
To be revealed.
To be revealed.
That's
excellent
yes
stuff.
Then.
Gareth, what's the best roller coaster you've been on? Johnny Field wants to know.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of them, you know.
Aren't
I'm a shit house. So, like, it'd probably be like the Caterpillar or something for me.
The swans at Alton Towers, it is.
Screaming head off, going through the apple.
Honestly, they're not really for me. I mean, I did a massive shit house one where I think we went somewhere with the school, like a theme park thing, but it wasn't like I signed up to go to Alton Towers. No, and I didn't like it. It was like we were away with the school on a trip, on a like a holiday, and part of it involved visiting a theme park, and I'm going, shit, I don't like these, I'm not into them. And then like peer pressure made me queue up, and I got all the way to the front and I saw the fucking roller coaster, and I had to go, nah. And I had to walk past everyone back in the queue like a proper shit house. So no, they're not for me. The best I can do is Caterpillars, log flumes, that kind of gear.
Flumes
the,
all right.
You know, the big one and the mad shit in Blackpool. And all that. The kids have been on it. They love it. But just, yeah, in that instance, in that sphere of society, dad is a shit house.
Andy, what's the favourite little course you've been on?
So I'm fortunate enough to have been to Six Flags Magic Mountain in California, which is basically exclusively, and it's in the city of Valencia in California, exclusively fucking massive roller coasters.
So what was the best one?
They had one called the Batman. And this is going back to someone who can carbon date this, because the Karate Kid with Hilary Swank was out that year.
Okay.
So that's what year it was.
I'm going to say 97, but I could be wrong.
So it's that year. So what's the one in Alton Towers where you kind of, you sit in it and you've got the arms and stuff?
Nemesis.
The Nemesis. It's kind of like the Nemesis, but about 10 times fucking bigger.
Yeah.
And a lot more violent. So probably that one. And we kind of coaxed my man into coming on it.
That's unreal.
So, because she was that hot, she just agreed to it because it was all shelter where you queue because California's roasting. The queue to it kind of like sheltered and they spray water on you and stuff like that. And I'm still apologising for that now. Let's just say that. But I've got a fairly hard stop when it comes to the roller coaster, but that one was insane. I don't even know whether it's still there anymore, or they've rebranded it or renamed it, but yeah, it's Six Flags Magic Mountain, California, the Batman ride. There you go.
Okay, what's the best gold roller coaster you've been on?
It's the one that stops at the top and goes down at Alton Towers, Oblivion. I'm not into ones that go upside down. I can't be hacking things that go upside down, because there's a paranoia in me that what happens if it breaks down and you're upside down.
What happens if on Oblivion it breaks down, as it has done on the point where you're about to go down?
You're not upside down.
Is that all
the
you
blood's
can
not
say
rushing to your head and you're not panicking?
So I know I know the answer to this question. They release the brakes and let gravity just roll you down to the lowest point.
You've still got a temporary thing where you're upside down with your legs hanging in the air with blood rushing to your head, and it's not something I'm into, to be perfectly honest. But I think
you need to live a little.
Right. I like air in Alton Towers.
Okay. I've not been to Alton Towers for probably 15
I'd fucking love to go to Alton Towers, and if someone wants to organise it, I'm there.
It's summer content for you, that night.
I would absolutely.
I'd just walk around the gardens.
He's got Robert's got everyone's coat.
He's going to absolutely twat that cable car.
let's do it.
Team
building week.
Love to go to Alton Towers. If you're quick and you leg it when it opens and you get to air first, you can get on it twice before there's even a queue.
Can I tell you the scariest thing that's ever happened, though, in relation to, like, not necessarily roller coaster, but something like that where you take a bit of a risk?
I can't wait to find out.
Right, so, you know, you're like parasailing where you go on holiday and you get it, jump in a parachute and they tow you by a boat and you go up in the air. So we went to Crete in the year Leeds won the league. I don't do years, I do 92. Events.
92. Yeah, you do events.
I do events, so it would have been 10, and I was skinny. I think it was about 4.5 stone and whatever. Anyway, so we blagged it, and they got me on, and they couldn't get me down. I was that light, so you pay whatever it is. And it's about, you're supposed to get like 15, 20 minutes. And I'm up in the air, and they can't get me down.
He's still there now, this is an illusion.
So, the whole thing plays out because I had no sense of fear when I was a kid. God knows what happened to me. I go to mum, can I go parasailing? And she goes, I'll ask your dad, because my dad used to say no to everything. So my dad, can I go parasailing? He goes, oh yeah, do whatever the fuck he wants. So my ma's already having fucking kittens. So even before I've got on, my ma thinks I'm up in the air when the fella before me's up in the air, and she's praying to fucking whatever it is, can be ma's Catholic. So
God.
That fella. And so then I finally get up, and so instead of being up 15 minutes, I was up there for about an hour. So I had to start reversing the boat to bring me back down. But like, I'm fine with it. And then after about 20 minutes, when I see something, you know, when you realise something's not quite.
You're aware now that there's a problem.
There's a problem, and I'm thinking, what the fuck's going on here? Like, I'm only 9, 10 at the time, whatever, and I'm like, oh, hang on, this is a little bit awkward, isn't it? So yeah, that in the end, I was relieved to hit water, shall we say.
Okay, Tom Harris has been on, Keith's lad. We getting top four then, lads? Yes or no, quick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. What an attitude. Is anyone watching the Masters? Do you watch the golf, Robbo?
Not really.
Matthews has asked.
I was intrigued that Justin Rose had done so well, so I watched the highlights to see how he'd done so well. And it's a good story. I like stories, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
So like, if there's a good story around any sport, really, that makes me interested then, and I want to go and have a look. But I sort of can't, I can't cope with the turgidness of it sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, if a story's happening, then I'm interested. If there's not a story and they're just all going through the motions, then. But when I tuned in for the highlights, not only did you have Justin Rose, there was a hole in Wallet as well. It was a Fleetwood.
The Evertonian.
So that was great as well. Do you know what I mean? So it was like, oh, this was excellent. The one Evertonian. I normally watch the golf, and I've got a hole in one, and I've got an unexpected fella leading the way. I love all that.
You're watching it, aren't
absolutely,
you?
I love it. I think it's one of the best. It's one of the best sporting events going. It's been, I think it's been better this year so far because the course is actually a bit harder, because it's, the last 3 or 4 years, like Dustin Johnson with 20 under par last year. No one wants to watch a golf tournament 120 under par. It's boring. You basically want to watch them try and land the ball on the green and they're not able to stop it and it rolls off. Like Dustin Johnson had a putt last night where I think he was 11 feet away. His tee shot went to 11 feet. His third shot was from 64 feet. Just got the putt wrong and it went, see you later. It's better when the course is harder. The course looks harder and it's been a good couple of days. And hopefully the last 2 days are as good.
Okay. Who's going to win?
Probably for me, Justin Thomas, I think. But if Tony Finau could win, that would be very nice.
Okay. Andy, you watch the golf?
Nah.
Those are valid answer.
No, bits. I watch bits. So I either get fully invested in it or I get not invested in it at all. And so I've missed the Masters this year, I'll be honest with you. Okay. And so Tommy Fleetwood, just to add, I know because Phil was already talking. What part of County Road is Tommy Fleetwood?
The Southport part.
Oh, the Southport part, okay.
They're always in his heart, it's in his soul. It's in his egg, it's in his beans.
Yeah. It's already Southport.
Oh, excellent stuff. I'd just like to keep in touch with that sort of thing. Is he actually born, not manufactured? That's good to know.
He definitely is.
Excellent stuff. Just always like to know
what
they're
up to. He was a golf ball once, actually.
Sorry?
He nearly hit me on a golf course when I was playing.
Did he?
About 10 years ago. I was playing golf at Thornby Hall, and my tee shot went surprisingly the wrong way onto, like, there's holes back and forward. Like, you play up on one and play back on the other. And I went right off the first one, and he was playing on the second one. And a ball came just past my head, because he hadn't seen me, because obviously I shouldn't be there. And it was him. He nearly hit me. Before he was a thing, like...
Did he shout four?
There was no reason for him to shout four because it was a drive straight down the middle of the fairway.
To be fair,
did he shout on ball?
You know what, right? Actually, you know what? To be fair,
he told me to get out.
To be fair, to Tommy Fleetwood, I don't know, I'm taking the piss because he never told me, but it's probably one of the most meteoric rises in sports in the last decade, would you say, Phil?
He's done.
Because he kind of come from nowhere and then suddenly he's.
He was just quite young and he just. Went from being young and where a youngster was to suddenly very good.
Yeah, but he kind of, there was no.
Yeah, there was no sort of. There was no in between, really. It just sort of went bang.
Save some dough getting a hole in one when there's no one there, Annie.
No bad.
Right, can I dive in on this? Right, my fucking minge bag fucking uncle. Right, my fucking minge bag uncle, and he doesn't listen because he's in Scotland and he supports fucking Rangers and he's married
and he'd have to pay to listen as well.
So exactly. Well, I mean, there you go. I'm not casting aspersions on the Scottish being minge bags, by the way. Just
I didn't
in case
you were them. What are you at all?
And every year.
Didn't care to me till you said it. Now it's fucking big about.
Now we've got
it's
a problem.
You called him a minge bag. The whole opening thing was that you called him a minge bag.
So every year they used to go to Portugal up until COVID to play fucking golf. I don't know what's there. And he takes golf insurance out. And one of the caveats in his insurance is that if they cover your hole in one payout, and he basically gets someone in the good same course every year. He gets, every other year without fail, he gets someone to sign off that he scored a hole in one and takes insurance with every company every year and gets a blank receipt from the till. So he gets his dog. He basically gets his
dog. This isn't being a minge bag, this is fraud. It's fraud. You just grassed him up on a show.
Chief executive of Royal Sun Libel. Listen, he's fucked, isn't he?
I never named him, but every year every other year without fail, he'd
the
do
court
this.
Heard.
And you know what? Podcast.
To be fair, start. Yeah, got him off, you know, because he said he married him, which means his surname's not Heaton.
So it's fine.
Which is a starting point for the fella to distance himself.
Yeah, there's loads of distance, but you know, genuinely 100% he would pay someone to sign his card saying he got a hole in one. so we could claim ale back that he never bought back by bribing the lad who run the bar.
There you go.
Excellent stuff. Tell you what, phenomenal. Doesn't listen. Let's just all relax.
How are you, Stuart?
Let's just all relax. Doesn't listen. Graham Faulkner says you can be a world-class sportsman for one day only. One day. And what sport and what venue would you choose for your day in the sun? Now, I'm going to sort of say this to you as the thing about this one day is you can pick whatever sport you want, but it's not like you were good at it the day before. So if you were to, for instance, be the best player in the world, you would not be able to demonstrate that to Jurgen Klopp other than on the day you were playing the sport, if you see what I mean. So therefore, you've got to bear that in mind, because I think you're basically just playing.
Can you be a fair to middle and then suddenly world class? And there's a reason I asked this.
Go on.
Street Fighter's not a sport,
no, Anthony. No.
It's no, WWE is world class, sadly. There's nothing we can do.
No, I'm not world class anymore. Our kids have fucking beat me now. But can you be fair to middle and then suddenly world class?
Go on, tell me what you want to be.
Boxer. Right, so a fair to middle and boxer who picks up. So the scenario is that there's a big title fight and then someone drops out and they need to find the filler.
And you're the filler.
What
I'd say on that end is that at some point you'd have to defend that title.
You'd just retire as the champ.
Okay, I can sort of see that, but I think even that,
I thought at first he was calling himself currently a fair to middling boxer.
Yeah, even that, I think I don't want you to be fair to middling at that level at something like boxing. I think it's got to be something like you just got a day where you were incredible at doing something. What would you?
Are we talking like world beating incredible?
Yeah, but you might just be doing it in your backyard.
But is it recorded, though?
It can be.
Right, okay, well, the 100-metre record, then?
100-metre record, Andy wants to just run the 100 metres, and everyone always says, run again.
Wasn't the venue part of the question?
Yeah, you can have the venue as well. He wants the venue, but he says it's non-football, the venue.
Right. Well, that's boxing, then, isn't it?
Okay, what are you going to do?
I want to open the batting for England on Boxing Day at the MCG.
But you wouldn't be picked for England, because you've got... Why would you be picked for England? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, right, okay. So this is...
So you'd just be basically playing a
Northern. I thought you were literally just getting to choose something for the day.
You could,
But it's got to be something...
But it's for one day only, so I don't quite see how you wouldn't get to do
you wouldn't
that.
Be
you might, for instance,
squad.
Get to play for Northern's
right.
second team.
Okay.
But basically knock 150 not out.
But if you're choosing the venue, though, surely there's an element of
maybe
you being
there is. Maybe
top
I'm, maybe I'm being too literal. That wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, but if you're picking the venue, you're not going to pick like the Northern Cricket Club in Crosby to score a ton, are you?
No.
So I'll have opening the baton at the MCG, thanks.
Okay, Andy can be a champion boxer at the Madison Square Garden. What are you doing?
It's got hard, this question, isn't it? I was just thinking about, isn't there a tennis court?
It'd be Anfield, sorry, Gareth, it'd be Anfield, by the way.
That's right, okay.
Isn't there a tennis court on top of like a building in Dubai or something like that? You know, like, I just love it to be really picturesque.
You talking about the golf thing on the beige?
It might have been
the Burj Khalifa. You've got like.
I swear they played tennis in some mad place as well, and it looked amazing. The pictures of it were fantastic. That would be my thing. That if you're going to be boss for a day at something, like it'd be documented in a really fucking brilliant way.
That's the thing. Yeah.
So like, imagine like so. Say it was on the top of some mad building in Dubai, and it's got the sea, and there's all these pictures of it from a helicopter and video of it and all that. Having that on your wall would be cool, wouldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
And that's a good one. I think also the idea of... So where my brain went with it was something like... So golf's actually a good example. Like, imagine having the course record at St. Andrews. Yeah. You're the fella who turns up at St. Andrews to play a round of golf. You go round in 61. Everyone's got to note it down. Yeah.
What happened to that fella? He's just doing podcasts.
Your name goes up on the board.
Exactly that. Yeah, your name's on the wall. You've not even 61. If the record's, I don't know what the record is, but let's say the record's 62. You go round in 59. Yeah. It's
Where's
there forever.
It just shouts getting on YouTube.
Like... If we're framing the question that way, then it is something like getting the course record.
How is Chris Maguire?
Well, yeah, exactly. It's exactly that.
Have you seen my goal?
Have you seen the Chris Maguire goal?
I absolutely love that story.
It's yes, it's unreal. And that is, yeah, so something like that, I think, is sort of what I'm thinking of. Something like that would be absolutely spectacular. What could it be, you think? And I think, yeah. A course record on a golf course, something where they'd be able to go back. And go look at that.
In fact, you know, it would be really cool. And they haven't done it for years, the crossbar challenge to win like a car or something at Anfield.
Yep.
Imagine like striding onto the pitch at Anfield, full house.
Yep, that's
it. Yep.
Full house, halfway line, And most what's the biggest game you could possibly imagine? Say a European Cup semi-final, second leg, first leg, whatever team you want.
I've got a reasonable one. But the UK Open darts, right?
I'm gonna be finished.
Sorry, Ant.
But just so, what team would you pick?
Got to be against when you do it.
Yeah.
Blue Noses.
Then. Everton. There you go. All right. Okay. So, yeah, all right, fair
enough. Imagine it, because, like, well, half of them fucking hate me anyway, so, like...
To the Annie Rose, I get to the Annie Rose.
Imagine, like, they'd be like, fucking, ah, is that knobhead from the Anfield app? And then you box it.
So, European Cup semi-final, like, Everton, Annie Rose, towards the Annie Rose end, to win a fucking...
Everton in Europe's not realistic, though.
No, but listen, me in the bar from the halfway line's not realistic either, if we're being honest, fucking hell. But, like, and you win, like, I don't know, fucking, you win Everton. You get to own Everton if you're at the crossbar or something, and then run them into the ground.
One of my favourite things ever is in athletics with the Bob Beamon long jump record, when he basically broke the long jump record by 55 centimetres over 2 foot. He broke the world record by, I think it was his world record at the time, but he jumped that much further than anybody else has ever jumped, and it's like stood for years because no one could get near
it. Is the men's pole vault not like that as well? Or is it the javelin or something?
I think there's one where there's something absolutely, yeah.
There's a fella again who's boss at pole vault again now though, isn't there? Like, isn't he a Swedish fella or something?
Because Bubka wasn't there.
How do you reckon you end up doing the pole vault, by the way? It's mad, isn't it?
This is my thing. I think about when I went to Bower and Comprehensive in Eton and what sports we had to have a go off. And we didn't have a fucking pole vault.
Even if you're turning up to athletics and they're going, do you want to do the sprint? And yeah, I'll do the sprint. Do you want to do the hurdles? Yeah, go ahead. Do you fancy like the triple jump or something? You were all right at the long jump, we'll move you on to the triple jump. How the fuck do you end up with
bendy pole, you know, if you've not got one?
it's defo private school gear, that is. It's defo Harrow, isn't it?
It's got to be.
I think Bubka was mad. I mean, because Bubka used to basically break the world record on demand, didn't he? Because he used to get a bonus in his agreement with Nike. I think it was Nike, where every time he broke the world record, he got a bonus. So what he basically worked out was what he could do, and he just kept putting it up by a centimetre over and over and over again, genuinely. And then people go, do you want to do another jump, sir? And he'd go, nah, not this meet. And then the next meet he'd turn up, he'd win the meet, and then he'd go, right, just put it 1 centimetre above the previous one, and then he'd go and do it again.
So,
genuinely, that's what he used to do.
Neil, so Gareth's right. So much stories there, and you'll know this because you've got a mad mind. Steve Backley always sticks in my head, the javelin fella. Who was it? Who was his rival?
Jan Zalesny.
There you go, see,
that was mad,
you know.
That night. Yeah, no, but I mean, it's the great Friday night athletics was on when athletics on ITV, and there was a night where Backley and Zalesny kept trading world records throw after throw. You get 6 throws of the javelin, and I think like something mad like 8 of them broke the world record between the two of them. They just kept throwing the world record.
It was captivating, wasn't it?
Oh, it was unreal. I mean, it was brilliant, the athletics on a Friday night on ITV. It was absolutely brilliant. Like Liz McColgan, Yvonne Murray. I remember all the great Scottish distance runners from the past.
Not scared of having a piss in the street.
Oh, yep.
Liz McColgan's daughter's in reasonable level now, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, I think, yeah.
She was on the Infield Rap the other night, wasn't she? Or was that a different one? Forget it. We had someone called McColgan on the other day.
Ah, oh, we did, yeah. I don't know what she was doing. but, you know, I can't be on top of everything. I'm sure it was good. all doing our best. Where are we? I'm trying to look for something that's not too football related, but isn't berserk, and that's difficult. Matthew Rippon's been on. Angela's lad, most underrated cheese.
Yes,
well, yes.
Done. Most underrated cheese.
Underrated cheese.
Cheese that no one's talking about.
I mean, I do like a bit of cheese, but I feel like I'm eating all the obvious ones, and so like. To know an underrated one's difficult. I like the ones with something in them. So like, you know, like a bit of chive on the slide.
Oh yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? A Mexicana.
Yeah, them kind of fellas. I feel like everyone's got, you know, mostly buying the staples if you're looking at one. So you can judge, I think, what people buy obviously by going to the smaller versions of the big supermarkets because they'll only have a smaller range, and it's the stuff that people buy. So Red Leicester, cheddar, whatever. So the stuff with getting the cheeses with bits in is harder, isn't it?
Yep.
So maybe they're underrated. Okay. That's me thinking.
I'm with that.
I started thinking about French supermarkets and got a bit lost for a second then about what a place they are. I think a Wensleydale and Cranberry one's a bit underrated because I don't think most people would think about it. But I do like, I've never had a Wensleydale and Cranberry and been disappointed, I don't think.
Okay, go on.
Bit of Gruyere grilled onto a French onion soup.
Okay.
As a topping. With a bit of crouton in there.
Yeah, no. Touch of class. No shadow of a doubt.
Said no one ever about Andy Heaton.
What else have we got tonight? What else have we got for us going all the way through all the questions and seeing if it's not just people? There's a lot of people who would play left-hand side of the attack of a sudden.
Let me, French onion soup, by the way, big tip, 2 full caps of brandy.
Oh, right, okay, I can see that. I made French onion soup from scratch in the summer. The one thing I learned from the experience was, fucking hell, it's a lot of onions.
It's a lot of onion, but you know, if you get it right and you use the right stock, but oh, the brandy just gives it like that.
I can see that.
It's the smell. It's the essence of it, and just really full. And especially if you top it with the cheese, because the point of the cheese is you seal everything underneath it. So when you break the cheese, you get this.
Okay.
Sorry,
no,
go on.
No, I'm into it. 100%. I think it's a good tip. The brandy in the French onion soup, and yeah, we'll go from there. I mean, like, I've got a question here, Phil, which is best Hitchcock film. No chance
have the you. The Birds. Missed.
Kevin, the fella who used to play for Chelsea in goal.
There you go. There we are.
No, I know who he is. I just have never seen one of his films.
Or if you have, you wouldn't necessarily have clocked it, so it's not entirely fair. We've got another one. Robbie Richmond's asking about haircuts, trim, heavy buzz. What are we doing? I think he's asking about next week. What are we doing with our hair? You've been getting yours done as you've gone.
Yeah, I've had it shaved a couple of times. It needs to probably grow back before an actual barber cuts it, but it also looks a bit like it's very obviously been amateur cut, because it's growing at funny angles and the hair's all slightly different lengths, and it's hard to do.
Have you got a plan for yours?
I don't know. I was going to ask, I'm actually genuinely going to ask your opinion on it, because originally the plan was just like kind of keep it as it was, keep the sides trim and keep it fairly mid-length on top. But it's been doing me in that much. I'm genuinely tempted to shave it all off, but I don't want to get to that thing where I shave it all off and then suddenly I'm like, what the fuck have you done that? I don't know. I like my hair's quite thick and quite, I don't know, I won't say lustrous.
Lustrous. Why not lustrous?
Oof. There you go. So I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
I think the longer hair suits you, but if it's pissing you off, I think you should get shut of it.
So the basics, it's the actual length down the sides that's pissed me off, because it's constantly in the fucking way.
Yeah, but you can't get a mullet.
No, so I'm not saying, so I'm talking like, do I go like, get it trimmed around the sides, or just go the whole fucking thing, or leave a bit on top?
I think you should phase it back over a period and not rush into it, and then you can make your decision as you go. So I'll get a bit
of
a trim.
If I said Henry Cavill, Superman of Steel kind of vibe.
I've always felt you and him were much the much.
You know.
Yeah, that's rock solid. Your hair, you looking forward to getting it done?
I've been kind of getting it done by Kelly, basically. Like, she's commandeered my clippers to do Cara's hair.
Yeah.
And then I've gone, well, if you're doing Cara's hair,
come on,
you know, box mine off. So, like, I've not allowed mine to get too mad, really, through the whole of lockdown. There was a couple of phases where it was pretty mad. But I do like the idea of, going back to a barber that I know and love and getting it done in a way where I know it's sand, there's not little mad chunks that you've got to put a bit of extra product on to sort out. Do you know what I mean? I'm interested to see what's happening with some of my mates, to be honest. I mean, we had a, it's now
what's Johnny's hair like at the minute?
Johnny hasn't had his haircut for a year.
Is it worse than mine?
It's longer than yours, lad. Yeah, it's down.
Hang on, let's just do this. Hang on. Wait, hang on.
Go on, yeah.
For the benefit of the tape.
Right out there.
Yeah, it's about the same, to be fair. It's getting to shoulders yet, so it's about the same. He rocked up with it the other night. We had a bevy in Sefton Park, now that it's allowed. Gathered round one of the tables near the palm house and put the world to rights. And John came late, as is tradition. And
do you remember that train?
And yeah, he one of the lads that you hadn't seen him for like a year or so, and was like, "Whoa, with the barnet," because he just hasn't done it himself. He hasn't been to a barber. He's just sore it out. And yeah, it's quite the barnet now.
So when this is wet, because it's quite curly, it's actually down.
He's talking about his hair.
Yeah. I'm regretting that I've said this now, because it's getting quite graphic, but it's literally down to, I can pull it down to my nipple.
Oof.
It's that long.
Tell you what, people will be listening to this in the bath. It's like the Gutman days.
Yeah, the glory days.
I was Julio. What's his bonnet like?
It's a good question in that I'm asking it for a variety of reasons, not least because it's valid to all of us, because I don't think it's ever been properly answered, Phil. What's the best pub in Liverpool to watch the match?
Do you know what?
In the city, I want you to be really tight city boundaries. I'm going to say the front, Upper Parley, Peter Cavanagh's, and where am I going around the other side? I can't quite get my brain to do that at the moment. The Cambridge and where it drops down from there, past Vauxhall. I'm going to allow Shenanigans, but Shenanigans is an outer border. I think I've done a bit of a nice circle there. I think you've got a loop.
So, as someone who's lived in London for 11 years and goes pretty much every game, I reckon I have watched more matches in this office this year than I've watched in pubs in Liverpool possibly ever.
More Liverpool matches?
Yeah.
Where do you like watching the match? If you go, so let's say Liverpool are playing half 12 and there's a 3 o'clock. No, I'm not saying that's the question, but just to make it a bit different for you.
Oh, okay.
There's a 3 o'clock or a 5:30. Where do you want to watch it?
Somewhere where it's easy to get served with a big screen. I'm not that asked about the actual quality of the pub. I think Beer Engine on Harbour Street.
Yeah,
so I think it's actually good. It's got loads of tellies. There's loads of space.
Formerly the bumper.
It's easy to get a pint.
Yeah,
you if you want food, the food's
passable,
reasonably
right,
okay.
Yeah.
I have actually the last. Before, when we were allowed out, I have watched a fair few 5:30s after we played at 3 or 12.
I think we watched
the infamous Norwich versus Manchester City game in.
Oh, really?
We got very excited.
I remember West Ham Southampton in it.
Yes.
In Beer Engine.
Yes.
The day we won the league, I think that was. One of those days.
That was Watford. Watford.
Yeah, yeah, before Qatar and Leicester drop points against Norwich.
Yes,
that afternoon, and then we watched West Southampton, and that was where everyone was having a big. We probably won this, you know, conversation.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, where would you go?
I know you've drawn a tight circle, but I'm not going to pass up the opportunity to plug Taggy's new gaff.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Taggy's Bar, Anfield Road, he's just ordered the big screen. It's going to be amazing. The service is great.
And it's also, that's for now as well, because you can go there and you can watch football outside.
But the experience last year, because we've been and lived it there, there's a big screen, you watch the footy outside, book a table, be with all your mates, and it's ace, and everyone's sound. And everyone's like-minded because everyone knows where it is. So that, but in town, I can't disagree with the Beer Engine shout. To be quite honest,
it's mad that that could be accurate.
But what used to be the best gaff back in the day was the 1-4, when it was alive.
What a gaff!
Yeah, the 1-4.
Well, Gareth, go ahead. Tell people about the 1-4.
It was just fucking crazy, wasn't it? It was like I loved it. I used to go all the time with my mates, and obviously you could actually play pool and stuff, but that was kind of like a sideshow to how mad the gaff was. Like, it was the first place that I can remember that had absinthe.
Correct.
In town. So there was an afternoon where we were trying to play pool while people were drinking absinthe, and you can imagine how that went. It was just a crazy gaff, wasn't it? And it was like there was loads of different groups in there, and this happens in Liverpool sometimes. Like, so you've got like really fucking hard,
but it was dead chill though. But it was dead chill.
You've got like students.
It was dead chill though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. But it was. That's what I was going to say. But no one gave a fuck about each other. Everyone just in there, and it was like you all respected each other, and you were all in this mad venue, and it was sound, and it worked. And that, I love the melting pot of Liverpool is a bit of a cliche, but the 1-4 was a good example of it.
Yeah, and also it even when town had late bars. When late bars were a thing, they weren't anywhere else in the country. The 1-4 for a period didn't have a late bar. It had a really active cafe.
Yeah.
Where you could get like a bacon roll up to a quarter to 12 to 2. And so you couldn't get a drink in there theoretically, at least. I'm sure you could if you knew the right people. But it was berserk. I always remember that was one of the things I remember being in the 1-4 at like 3 a.m. thinking, this is the maddest place I think I've ever been.
You know the best thing about the 1-4 as well? The screen, they had the big telly, and it was a big screen, but it wasn't like a commercial big screen that pulled down. It was just a massive telly. someone had bought a fucking Costco or something on a fucking stand, and it was huge, and it was one of the only gaffs that showed all the games. But it was like someone
I used to watch Liverpool in there.
No, I did all the time. Yeah, exactly. And like, they just wheeled this massive telly out on wheels when, like, when it
pretty this, sure I watched this when we played Leverkusen in there.
But this is how old it was. Used to wheel this thing out because everything dead slim now on LCD. It was like a big old CRT TV, and it used to take four of them to wheel this big fucking thing out.
Like in year two, where someone.
But it was Boss though. No, bro, it was Boss. It was Boss. It's a good thing. So there, all taggies.
Where do you think it is now?
Well, I mean, beer engine had come into my mind just to add to the beer engine list, but I think it's a really good question because I know why you set the boundary, because it's another one of those weird things about Liverpool, isn't it? So, like, when we, you know, when I had my group, which is now all dispersed because of our age and all the rest of it, but when I had my group that I watched the footy with in Eton, we would stay in Eton.
Yeah.
We wouldn't come to town to watch the footy. We go to town after. You go to town in the night or whatever, but you would watch the footy at night. And there's still a thing around that of everyone watches it in the suburbs, everyone watches it in the local. Yeah. They don't, and so it's meant that it's weird watching it in town.
Parnells.
But you look at the attempts to do like sports bars in Liverpool, and like, you know, obviously Carragher did one and things like that. And I liked it.
To Cubans
as well. And I always think it's weird that such a sport mad, such a football mad city. Like, bars that are specifically for that don't fully seem to work for whatever reason.
I liked Robin Paul's Esperantos. I thought that was really good, but I think they were struggling to keep it full at other times. Mm. But I thought they nailed the sport bit.
It was
spot on.
Yeah, we were talking about that even now.
Yeah, it was a bit of a loss, that one, that it never quite took off, because I thought that one was great. But I agree with you. I find it dead. Like, if someone said to me, you know, let's just say we could just all go inside, and someone said, where do you want to watch the match Wednesday? I'd go,
you saw the flute.
The flute to me though was one of those gaffes where there'd be 100 tellies and I'd never have a view.
Mm, I know what you mean.
It was almost like watching at the match where I'd turn to look at different tellies.
Neil, do you remember the golf bar?
I remember the golf bar. Yeah, the golf bar was insane.
That was madness. Yeah, and then there was not far from the flute. I think it was called, and it always sounds weird saying it, and I'm gonna sound weird saying it again. But it was called It to Scream, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's not the Hope and Anchor. But yeah,
but that was all right.
That
was all right to watch the footy.
We like Teddy's post where Paul's got it downstairs because you can get a little booth thing and you've got a telly right in front of you, and he's nailed that.
Actually, I watched a couple of games in there back in when was it? Month June.
Yeah,
and that was good. If you because we were able to get the bit downstairs where there's three tellies, three booths, and that was very good.
And that could be all right, but we've yet to see it under proper stress where there's not substantial meals involved.
True.
I think it's only lived through that era.
Substantial meal thing's not coming back though, is it?
It's not good. That's what I mean. No, so we're going to get to see it with proper. Yeah.
Wondered, and like, maybe should like speak to the lads who actually run bars. I've not had the conversation with them, but I've always had. I'm not going to do it. But you know, like, why couldn't there be? Maybe I'm just being daft, and you're all going to laugh at me. But why couldn't there be a bar in Liverpool that is purely like a footy bar, and it celebrates the fact that we've got two decent teams ish? Do you know what I mean? And is full of all footy stuff and all that.
So.
Do you know what I mean? Why doesn't that happen? Someone must have had that idea and gone, or someone, you know what I mean?
I always had, and it came from, a friend of mine, and also someone's part of the Anfield app. I had a meeting with Wayne Scholes about 10 years ago in London, and we went to a nice hockey bar, and it was mad. This bar in London that was like themed around, but what they'd done was perfect. They had like an island bar in the middle. So when I mean an island bar, so you got this vast space, but the bar's in the middle, it's not on the side of the wall, whatever, it's in the middle. And I just thought, like, given Liverpool's student community, I'm sorry if I'm going off on the tangent here.
So it's about Liverpool's ice hockey, sorry, you say it's ice hockey or?
No, so this bar in London's exclusively just ice hockey.
Okay, but you wanted to do it in Liverpool.
But imagine you'd done that in Liverpool, forget the ice hockey bit of it.
Yeah.
So you know, the gaff, there was an island bar, on one side was like just like a normal pub, the other side was booths.
Yeah.
So you have food on one side and just bar on the other. But they had about 18 screens round the island bar and then screens on the wall. But they had different sports on different TVs.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I remember talking to the fella, and he said the major, their massive custom during the week was students. So I was thinking about Liverpool, because Liverpool's a massive student city. Imagine you built something up by the uni or somewhere central in Liverpool where you had this massive island bar going.
The bowling gaff. The back of Matthew Street, Roxy Ballroom's done something a bit like what you're describing.
So what I'm thinking, my thought was, if you could get a gaff, we'd have an island bar, so you move totally 360 degrees around it. and you can walk in. So if you're a student in Liverpool and you're from, I don't know, well, it doesn't matter where you're from, but say you're into, I don't know, baseball, whatever.
It's on in one bit of it.
It's on in one bit of it.
Yeah.
And you and your mates can go there and it's on, and you can Bluetooth, and you literally lease headsets to the customers.
They're getting the commentary,
so you could have literally on one screen the golf, one screen the basketball, one screen the ice hockey, one screen whatever, and you're still hearing what you want to hear. If you want
most
to hear
most with that or about 10 headsets on.
I'm serious about this, and it wouldn't be that, it wouldn't be that hard to set up if you had the capital investment. But if you're talking about students who've come from wherever in the world, and we welcome them into the city, and they have that facility, and you have
there's a bit of that kind, but, not what you're saying, but you're, a bit but of you're that with Concert Square, isn't
no,
it? Like Einstein.
No, but you had a late light. But you're
watching the match.
No, but this is your USP. You advertise it as somewhere there. So all right, so Einstein's a bat, and it does that stuff.
Yeah.
What you're saying is right. Come here, and we're going to give you this, and given the licensing laws in Liverpool, because of the time restrictions, if a game of I don't know, if whatever sport you want kicks off in China at whatever time or in the US at whatever time, they've got you covered. And then at the same time, it's still a bar and you're still showing the footy. So, Joe, if Liverpool and Everton are playing, every screen's got the footy on. Do you know what I mean? Sorry, I've gone off on a little...
No, I'm intrigued. Einstein, by the way, we watched, remember the 0-0 against United where Lingard missed the sitter, three of their lads, one off injured. We watched that in there. It was so fucking loud. Like, the way they had that...
It's a normal thing that, you know, it's not like a day. It wasn't like that day.
It's intimidating how loud it is.
But even for, like, they'll even do it for, like, Wolves versus...
They've got the biggest screen in town, haven't they?
They'll even do, like, Wolves West Ham with the... No, but, so you can't have a conversation.
But this is what I'm saying about the headsets. You can choose to put the headsets on.
McCooley's is all right away for, like, a summer tournament.
Because
you're there in the afternoon, not the night.
Do you remember when we were in New York and we done the Man United match commentary and the United fans kicked off?
Yes, I do remember. just one of the many nearly fights that you get through. Listen, thank you very much indeed to Andy Heaton, to Gareth Roberts and to Phil Blundell. Junior post-match AFQ after Liverpool have won by 2-1. And I told you before this started, he was in a mad mood.
You were right.
Sorry.